Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Psychology of Work, Why People Do What They Do, a podcast exploring the science and stories behind high-cohesion, high-performing teams. My name is Dr. Bobbi Wegner. I'm a lecturer at Harvard in organizational psychology and the founder of Groups. In each episode, we dive into the minds of industry experts to uncover what drives team and individual dynamics, tackle real-world challenges together, and share actionable insights to help teams feel and function their best. Thanks so much for joining, and let's get started. So hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be here today on The Psychology of Work. So today, I'm here with Sheree Narayanan. So she's a co-founder and CEO of Nala AI and founder of Codaly, where she's working at the intersection of really education and workplace learning. So just given my background, I was so happy to cross paths with Sheree, as there's just a lot of intersection. So Sheree is a Forbes 30 Under 30 honoree. Her career spans product development at Blackstone, venture capital, and teaching. And she even created her own curriculum as a course instructor at Rutgers University. Now she's focused on transforming how teams learn, communicate, and connect in the workplace by applying insights from educational frameworks to build healthier, more collaborative organizational cultures. But before we dive in, Sheree, I would just love for you to introduce yourself to the listeners. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what's your journey, what brought you here today?
Absolutely. And, you know, first of all, thank you so much for taking the time and for inviting me on here. I'm so excited. A little bit about me. I think my passion for all of this really started because I grew up in a household where my parents were always just encouraging me and my brother to just make our own decisions. And it was like, you know, what color paint do you want for your bedroom? And it's like, oh yeah, I want like my wall to look like this. It's like early on getting the power to make decisions kind of empowered me to this confidence of like, wait, you can do that too. And that was what inspired me to go and start my company right after college. You know, during the pandemic, I was one of the pandemic students, you know, during COVID. And, you know, I found this gap in, you know, enrichment or expanded learning, as they call it, built the company out, you know, and then the next day, you know, I'm having dinner with superintendents and, you know, part of this environment of this new atmosphere. And it's amazing, you know, when you're able to take that step forward and the leap and not doubt yourself. And I think that's really what's, you know, brought me and gotten me so excited about starting a company, entrepreneurship. I'm so passionate about this space and also really excited, you know, just to talk about, you know, building a company and growing it as well too.
Amazing. Well, I'd love to learn about your company. So tell us about Nala. Tell us about Codaly. Like, what are your companies?
Absolutely. So both, just to give a little bit of background, Codaly started that, you know, right after college. I spent like a little bit of time post-grad working at Blackstone. I was always someone very geared towards technology and finance and the growth of business. So as part of, you know, being part of Blackstone, I saw, you know, some really cool companies that were part of the portfolio. I saw some really awesome tech that was being built across different groups that we were working in. And then after, I actually took a little bit of a break and, you know, I was able to start Codaly, seeing, you know, how much of the great mentors and the relationships that I built in the space with Codaly. We pretty much build out turnkey programs for school districts. So a lot of times you'll think about summer programs, enrichment, breaks, holiday camps, right? Even, you know, I was just talking to a district today, what are your plans for spring break? How are you going to think about the kids that need that support when parents are working 9 to 5 or longer hours? And so we come in and we run these turnkey programs, but it's not just babysitting. It's not just taking that time. It's actually turning that into meaningful career opportunities for these students. So it's like, hey, let's bring in, you know, some programs like MasterChef around the world. And so kids are learning about like recipes, but they're also learning it in a new language. So it's integrating cross-curricular programs, different intersections between different topics, and getting them excited about it. So they figure out what they love and what they want to do when they grow up. So that's the inspiration behind it. We also started to see that during the school day, teachers were loving what we were building. And so we introduced Nala AI not too long ago, which is pretty simply, how to put it, you know, similar to Kahoot, but with AI and multilingual. So any teacher can take any topic, any YouTube link, any PDF, upload it in there. And in a matter of 2 minutes, they get an entire course and they can create that out. So it makes it super interactive for a teacher to use this if they have a substitute, if they're out, if they want to make it interactive and fun. And we also recently started seeing high school and college students also using our platform for study materials because they could create flashcards and they could create all these fun resources, which is amazing. So it's a baby, just started, but at the same time, it's been really well received. So we're really excited about the growth there too.
Super cool. So you're really intersecting sort of education, implementation and technology. And you've really gone from teaching to building products, right? And so what was the aha moment that made you realize that sort of these principles, you know, sort of from K through 12 and higher ed sort of could solve some of these problems?
Yeah, I definitely think that like when I first started, I mean, my passion for teaching really started when I was really young. I actually did a lot of, you know, teaching for kids around my neighborhood. And then I eventually started to do it at the local public library. When I started to realize that, you know, hey, building a business is something that you want to solve a problem for. So when we built a product, when we built the company out, it was actually because we saw a need in the space. When I first started building Codely out, we were doing something totally different, but we weren't actually solving a problem. So there was really no customers that were interested in what we were doing. But the moment we actually tailored it to like an actual need in the market, which, you know, we just started to do customer interviews and understand what was going on. And slowly we were like, wait, this is a huge market. It's not like I woke up one day and I was like, oh, expanded learning. That sounds like something that, you know, I know a lot about. It's like, no, something that I, you know, kind of stumbled upon, but then I really started to understand the gaps in the spaces and the challenges in the market and what people are looking for. So that's kind of how we work backwards and build the product. It was really through learning, you know, learning from other people and hearing what they were struggling with too.
Yeah, I feel like that's such a classic founder story. And groups, like where we started and where we are, totally two different places. Like we initially started really, I mean, the very earliest days of groups, we actually were building a platform or a brick and mortar space. This was like right before COVID broke, that I don't even know if I told you this part, but it was a kind of like a co-working space, picture like a nice YMCA or something where parents could come, drop their kids off, do co-working, and then have this ongoing parent support group, knowing that education for parents around, you know, their children often is very focused on 0 to 1. And there's a whole kind of market from 1 and beyond, right? That's like, unless your kid has an issue, there's not a lot of support, you know, unless you're looking online or talking to your pediatrician or something. So we started there, then COVID hit. So we cannot build a brick and mortar co-working play space for kids, restaurant, all the things. And we ended up pivoting to an online model. And then getting into really, instead of scaling sort of support groups for parents, really being like bringing groups to companies. So what's it like when we bring psychologists to work with teams and to train leaders? So the point is like, you just get in the market, and you start learning what's actually needed. And then, you know, sort of the market tells you. Right. But you had mentioned, and when we were talking, that, you know, when I said, like, what are some of the hardest things in leading your companies, or like, and you mentioned that having hard conversations is one of the biggest disruptors of like connection and cohesion and performance, all the things. Can you really walk us through, maybe either from Codely or Nala or something, where you feel like a team was stuck in more of an avoidance mode, and what concept helped them really break through that barrier?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just even thinking back about like a recent example too. You know, a lot of times when you're, you know, let's just say working in a team setting, we do so many day-to-day operations with everything. And sometimes, you know, when you're just so siloed out and you're just having like one-on-one conversations and you're like, hey, this actually could be done a little bit better if you did it like this. But I started to realize when you're in a team setting, a lot of these conversations don't have to be so like, hey, this was not done correctly. Hey, this is, you know, not, you didn't meet the goal, or we didn't meet the timeline. You know, when you're doing it in a team setting, everyone is motivated to build each other up. And so when you're like, hey, we have like a Notion board that we have to get all this stuff done by this date. And if everyone sees that there's, you know, the goals that they need to set together as a team, they want to lift each other up like naturally and just say, oh, this person was stuck. Let me see what I can do to help. And so when you kind of give that responsibility, but also let them take the time to like do it on their own and like also grow from there, you also start to see it like, wait, they take the ownership. You don't have to have as many of those challenges, or it's like not negative. It's not really any of that. It's more of like a group in a team setting, and it's having those like quick checkpoints. Like I know one thing when I was part of engineering teams was like stand-ups for 5 minutes, right? It's like a 5 minute like little heartbeat, like pulse check that you're just like, how's everything going? Are you stuck? Are you blocked? And like the more of those checkpoints we have with the people that we work with, the better it is and the easier it is too.
Yeah. What you're describing is high cohesion, right? That's like the stickiness and strong relationships at work, and knowing when you can actually have that fluidity of like working together in a super collaborative way. Like that is the key variable in a high performing team, you know, and it's like you win together, you lose together. And then, you know, your win's my win. So I totally get that. So you've also mentioned that you've seen like lightweight rituals sort of work, like red, yellow, green status updates work well. How do you help teams design these rituals without them becoming just another meeting or checkbox exercise? And what makes this actually stick?
Yes, I think having a good leader across that to manage those different timelines or status updates. So because we have so many different kind of teams, we're not a big company, but we're, of course, like we have different divisions like operations, and then we have customer success, and then we have sales. So across all of those different areas, I have a team leader who kind of manages that. And so they're responsible for their team updates. So I think the moment that you give someone that responsibility to oversee their team and what they need to do, they feel that ownership of like, wait, I need to get this done. I need to get this done. Like, I need to make sure my team is getting this done at the right time. I usually kind of give them, you know, hey, your day is like 9 to 5, right? You know, there's no need to go beyond that. Like, really, there's really not. But like, when you're working 9 to 5, you should think about giving an update at 11 a.m. You should think about giving an update maybe at 3, like before the workday ends. So that way, if you're blocked, you're not just sitting on it. We know, you know, where you're stuck on something before 5 p.m. hits. So that's kind of how we position it in terms of like time blocks. And I know we were talking about this before, Google Calendar or just like any calendar app is like literally the best way to do that. It's like, how can we reduce the number of meetings we have and just focus instead on like time blocking ourselves, so we know we have like these almost like kind of little time areas that we need to meet before, you know, we talk to the team as a whole, we do end of day standups, things like that. And I think having those little checkpoints, like once again, the standups or the checkpoints, just creates accountability and also makes them feel just excited about that too.
Yeah, it sounds like you're really focused on staying in communication. So if you think about sort of like the cohesion or connectedness, the communication and those touch points are so important. And also it sounds like the way you operate, it's not a 0 to 1. It's kind of like, where are you? Like, is this done? Is this not quite done? Are you like totally stuck? And, you know, if you're in totally stuck mode, we need to know before the end of the day so we can actually like help you and not, you know, have just good boundaries around work and
Yeah,
time blocking is everything for me. I wasn't doing that at first, you know, and my COO and some other people were like, you need to start doing this, especially because other people have control over my calendar. So like meetings were getting put in all these different, and I'm fine. I like people, I get energy, but then I'm like, oh my God, I have so much other stuff to do because I don't just have computer time. And when we were just sort of chit-chatting at the beginning, you know, I was like, well, I love Fridays because I try to block Fridays to like catch up, get things out the door, close down, you know, close out emails. And it's just such a relief and provides so much more clarity. And the other thing I've been doing is just using AI to basically like help me keep my active list. You know, and it's just been a small thing, but because I'm in it all the time anyway, I can just like constantly reorder after meetings around like what I need to get done.
I love that so much. I think that helps so much when you have like a little AI like assistant that's like, oh, your email, this can be done right now. And it's like, I hate just having like a messy inbox and getting everything like cleaned up. As you know, the feeling of the Friday evening when you're done with everything is the best. I love
that. Do you have any tools that you really love or use, you know, to help with this stuff?
Honestly, I mean, we started using Notion a lot. And I honestly think any project management tool is really good because we have a dev team. They use a separate tool set. We, in the operations kind of space, I have my team use like Notion. And then we use Slack for like everything. Like that is our go-to. And so I think like that's kind of it. For me personally, I love just using a note app and just doing everything virtually. I'm not like a pen and paper type of person. So for me, like a notes app and just writing my checklist every night before bed, I put down like my priority list. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was like normal. I thought everyone did that. I was like, let me go to bed. I put my little checklist and then I wake up and I know what I need to get done in the morning.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of just like how I operate. And I make sure my mornings are free so I can do my sales meetings, my calls, my check-ins. Because in the afternoons, I mean, people are kind of checked out. So like, that's when I use that time for myself to do meetings or to like time block other stuff that I need to get done too.
Mm-hmm. How big are your companies? I can't remember.
So Nala AI is kind of an extension of Codely. Okay. So, you know, it's really actually it's grown through our clientele from Codely because it's a lot of schools, it's a lot of districts. Codely, actually, our team size is about, we have a big operations team, about 5 people with 1 team leader there. And then we have, you know, 2 people who handle customer success and operations, but they also still do our sales. So we have really repurposed a lot of our team to kind of handle multiple kind of areas because we're young and we're growing and we're still scaling, fully bootstrapped. And, you know, I have a CEO, a CTO and a COO who have done an amazing job growing those operational spaces out. And even though we're in the space of services, enrichment, expanded learning, we are a tech company first and foremost, because everything we do, we have an app for our leaders to check in. We have, you know, an online management tool that kind of automates a lot of these like day-to-day operations. Cause as you can imagine, going to schools, you have a lot of operations that you have to handle in the check-in. Is someone on staff? Are they there? All of that stuff. So, you know, at the end of the day, having technology, having AI really supporting our growth has been phenomenal. So we can be very nimble, but we can also scale really fast too.
Yeah, that's really fun. That's like when we first started chatting, this is, I think, where a lot of the intersection was, you know, and also yeah. Just thinking for us, like, we're very service heavy right now. And then, you know, with tech as part of it to help us scale and to help us like deliver the service. But, you know, we're expanding the platform in a like a bigger way too, which has been really exciting just to deliver more services, like, or to deliver more value during like the non-service time. So anyway, it's been really fun kind of like thinking through what that looks like. So, you know, if you think there's like one specific lesson from K through 12 education that most workplaces completely miss, how could you give every company, and you could get every company to adopt this tomorrow? Like, what would change about how teams work together? You have this unique perspective, right? Really kind of being in this K through 12 environment, but also you're leading these companies. And so what do you think, is there anything kind of in education that workplace sort of misses that you think could be adopted and help companies like function better together?
I definitely think, I mean, seeing like, you know, being in K-12, I think one of the biggest things is like communication between different departments. Because a lot of times, you know, we're working with like, let's just say ed services or a certain department across the school district. And then you realize like, wait, there is another department who's also handling the data collection of like how many kids are in attendance and like, you know, how much money is being recovered, for example, you know, that applies to them. Or, you know, there's something about like, oh, what's the curriculum being used? How does that tie into the school day? So I think it's all about like interdepartmental like communication. And, you know, I don't know if that makes sense, but like, it's a lot about like understanding what the person literally the office next door is doing. And I think that's the same for companies, because it's so important to be communicating between your teams, because if not, then you're like, wait, marketing was doing this, but then my ad person is doing that. That's something totally different. So how are we aligning on that? And I think a lot of times, I know it sounds simple, we forget to communicate with each other. And then I think that is what creates those big gaps when you're like, wait, I thought this was supposed to be done, but then it was like, no, that wasn't added in for my. So I think a lot of times, you know, you're so siloed in your own team that you forget about the other departments you're working with. And as we're scaling and getting larger, I'm noticing that now. And it's like, hey, you know, we actually didn't communicate about this before. How do we make sure we're effectively doing that going forward? So I think I notice the same thing with school districts a lot of time, where it's like, we spoke to that person, but then we're having the same exact conversation with another person who's another superintendent because they're part of a different department. So how do we kind of minimize that and also make everything more cohesive is very important.
Yeah. And I'm thinking it really comes down to this like shared purpose, you know, and with it, whether it's an education system or whether it's a workplace system, like having very clear shared purpose is what unifies all these different departments or, you know, these different groups. So what does this actually look like in practice for you? Like, how do you help teams really articulate their own why and how it fits within, you know, kind of the mission of your companies?
So I definitely think, you know, across, you know, like finding their own purpose and really building that out comes down to understanding about like the problem they're solving, right? And I think at the same time, like, you know, when I spoke about that kind of at the beginning was, you know, what is your problem and who are you impacting, right? I think when we first started Codely too, I was always refining the pitch and like what we are and what we do. And I used to have this like super long kind of pitch. I was like, oh yeah, we do 21st century. We do, you know, all these different types of programs. And everyone's like, wait, so what do you actually do? And it's like, you know what? Now I just say, hey, turnkey enrichment for after school and summer programs. Everyone knows what that is.
They're like, knows okay, I get that. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, like kind of like visualize it, you know, or when you can even tie it into a story. And I think a lot of times for me, that story is when I was younger, you know, I never really knew what I wanted to do until I went to these types of programs that exposed me to, you know, what I wanted to see, what I wanted myself to look like when I grew up. And I think that's exactly the space. It's kind of evoking that feeling, you know, of the story, the mission, the why. So those are kind of the two things that I like to do is like simplify it. Don't use a lot of words. And that, you know, I sometimes tend to ramble and, you know, totally relate to that. And the second is just like evoking a feeling for people of like, what is it that you do and your mission? And I think for you too, when I first spoke to you, you did a really good job of kind of like tying in like your company, what it did, what it does, and the purpose, and just giving me examples. And then I was like, oh yeah, I understand like why that's essential, you know? So I think that's just the most important thing.
Yeah. Especially starting a company, you're trying to like differentiate and do all these different things, which then can actually just muddy the message at times, you know? And I always say to people, I don't remember if I said it to you or not, but I was like, have you ever watched Billions? And like, I'm not sure if you said yes or no. And there's a character, yeah. Dr. Wendy Rhodes. I'm like, oh, that's like, we're pretty much scaling and productizing her, you know? And people are like, okay. Or if they haven't watched Billions, I'm like, have you seen Ted Lasso? And you know, Dr. Sharon, imagine if all teams had a Dr. Sharon, you know, focused on the team, not just the individual, and then had technology in between sessions to help them function better together. Like that's what we do. And it's really ultimately to help teams feel and function their best by helping teams work better together and help leaders learn how to coach. Yeah, but it took a minute. Like it's really like a lot of this stuff feels really not complicated, but it's so complicated at the same time, you know, and we're still refining it like over and over. We're like, we're not just a coaching platform, like, you know, and we're different. We're focused on dynamics and we're ongoing and we're integrated, but you also like, how do you say that all in like one sentence, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, so is there anything I didn't ask you about that you would want to share or anything that's sort of on your mind that we didn't talk about yet?
I think the only thing that I can probably add in there is, you know, the biggest kind of piece that I would probably leave the audience is just more about like, you know, when you're thinking about finding a business idea. I think these days, you know, I see on social media a lot like, hey, I'm going to create this business. I'm going to do this. How do I get started? And I'm like, you know what? Any idea can be successful. I think it's more about like how you're going to actually implement it, make a plan and execute it. Cause I mean, I see all these different ideas from like coconut yogurt that's like flavored and, you know, it's just the branding. It's just the way that they're marketing it and doing such a great job of that. I think anyone can really do a business as long as they're able to really drive and see that it's not easy. There's going to be so many days where, you know, you lose a customer, you fall down and something is broken. You know, you lose a good team member and you have to restart over and you're just like, that's just the day to day. And like that whole thing I kind of mentioned in the beginning about the checklist, every day I'm like, oh my God, I just finished my checklist. And the next morning I wake up and the checklist is back to the craziness, back to where it was.
I can't believe you finished your checklist. That's so impressive.
It's never at zero. And it's like every day you wake up and I'm like, I just cleaned my inbox. The next day you wake up, there's another fire. And you're like, I thought I just put out the entire issue that was there. The next day you wake up, there's something new that's there. But that's the part of being an entrepreneur that like, you know, it never really ends. And it's always ongoing in a good way because you're always looking for your next challenge. There's always something that's there for you. And I think, you know, it's just, if you're really into that thrill and that excitement, you know, that's, you know, how I think, you know, starting a business goes, it's these ups and downs, but at the same time, it's so rewarding and so fun building your own thing.
Yeah, I agree completely. I remember I was talking to Jim McCann, who founded 1-800-Flowers. He's another cool guy because it's a service-based company, but of course driven by technology and has expanded in lots of different ways. Anyway, I was like, how did you do this? And like, what was the thing, like sort of words of wisdom? And I don't remember his exact words, but it was something like, you just like, try not to die. Like keep like the company
literally
going, you know, and I think that's hard. You know, it's like hard to have that mentality when you have other people around, whether it's partners or whether it's investors or whether it's employees, you know, it's like, God, how do you sell this mission? And also like when you're trying not to die, you're just trying to grow. You're trying to like keep keep on keeping on. But I have to say, it is like the most, like, I would never go back. I sort of stumbled onto this path in some ways. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Wow, I would just like, could not imagine doing anything else. And probably will never do anything else. Like, if it's not groups, then it's something else. And after that, it'll be something else. And onward we go.
I love that. And that's the challenge.
Yeah. Wait, Sri, what? I'm thinking, like, because I love reading and I just am chronically reading, like, and I imagine you're probably reading similar books. But what, do you have any books or things you like to listen to or podcasts or anything that kind of you love for business or anything really?
Yeah. I mean, I honestly used to be way more into podcasts when I was actually commuting somewhere, like going somewhere. And I still do. I still do, like when I walk my dog or like when I'm going on like little runs. But the reality of it these days, you know, even with books, I love doing Audible. I love doing little audiobooks. And it's really bad, but I do listen to it at like 2x like speed. So I can like try to get as much as I can in there.
I do it too.
Exactly. And usually how it works is my mom like reads a book and she's like, do you want to listen to this? I'm like, great. And then she kind of like curates a list for me. So she will find a book. Maybe it's something inspirational that she's heard about or read. And then she's like, okay, I just finished it. You should read this too. And that's kind of usually how it works. I've been really bad about going and finding things on my own. I just, whatever mom says, I do it, read it, listen to it. And that's
amazing.
It. So it's been really good. And in terms of like podcasts, I still do love like my murder mystery podcast.
Yeah.
That is like my go-to. After a long day, I think the biggest thing for me is just listening to something that's kind of fun and like a little.
Yeah, like not fun, but, like, businessy.
Not businessy and like a, something a little bit different. So that is usually how I like to spend my time with podcasts or, you know, any of those like little audiobooks. Sometimes listening to something that's like a little bit more fiction.
Yeah. Awesome. Good. Well, I just appreciate you spending time with me today and like good luck and congrats on all the businesses. And yeah, I just look forward to staying in touch and watching you grow here. It's incredible.
Thank you so much for having me on. And, you know, I'm so excited, you know, for you as well. And, you know, really appreciate your time too.
Of course.